This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union with 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We are part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone or tablet and search for DC 37 State of the Union. There are now more ways than ever to stay in touch with your union. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you have any comments about our show or would like us to promote a community event, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. That's stateoftheunion@dc37.net. We are delighted to have back on the program a very special guest, a longtime friend of DC 37 and the labor movement. Since January, Letitia James has been the 67th Attorney General for the state of New York. There are some important firsts that came with her election. She's the first woman to hold the office and the first African American. She joins us now by phone. Welcome back to State of the Union, Ms. Attorney General.
Hey, Chris, how are you? And hello to my DC 37 family.
You know, I was reviewing your bio earlier, and I have to say, just wow, you are a daughter of Brooklyn, a product of CUNY.
Yes.
You received your law degree at Howard University School of Law.
Yes.
You began your career as a public defender at the Legal Aid Society. You were head of the Brooklyn Regional Office of the New York State Attorney General's Office.
Yes.
You were elected to and served 10 years in the New York City Council before becoming New York City's public advocate, and you are now the highest law enforcement official in the state.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I would not be in this position but for the hardworking men and women of DC 37, and so I thank them, and I thank them for what they do each and every day running the city.
And let's talk a little bit about the first 5 months of your term. You've been busy.
Yeah, we've been busy only because the federal government has kept us busy. We've been responding to the retrenchment of the federal government, basically turning back all of the progress that we've made as a nation. And so on issues such as food standards in our schools, we initiated a litigation and we responded to it, joining with other attorney generals in response to attempts to roll back the rights of immigrants. We have joined with other attorney generals across the state of New York to defend the rights of marginalized individuals. Particularly, we joined a multi-state coalition in filing a brief in a case involving the practice of this federal administration of unlawfully denying access to individuals who are seeking asylum at the border. It was really critically important that we stand up to the federal government. The federal law requires officials to promptly give seekers a fair chance to present their claims for asylum. And as you know, the federal government is denying that right. We also argue before the United States Supreme Court in regards to the census case. It's really critically important that all of us be counted. The Constitution requires that individuals be counted, not citizens, but all individuals be counted, regardless of their status. And this administration, the federal administration, would now, for the first time since 1950, would include a citizenship question on the census, and that would have a chilling effect on individuals responding to the census and would have an adverse impact on New York in that it would affect our ability to receive federal funds, and it would have an adverse impact on reapportionment. And there's a possibility that we might lose not one but two congressional districts if we are undercounted. And so I urge everyone to stay tuned. The Supreme Court should be deciding that case very, very soon. We also argued before the United States Supreme Court with regards to individuals, young juveniles, who were trying to obtain special immigrant status. We also joined a multi-state coalition in filing a brief to defend temporary protected status for holders from Haiti and El Salvador, Nicaragua, and the Sudan from potential deportation. We argued against, we joined with other attorney generals across this nation. The federal administration wanted to propose changes to an OSHA rule, which would weaken an employer's obligation to publicly report workplace injuries and illnesses. We joined in a multi-state lawsuit opposing that decision. We also announced legislation before the New York State Legislature that would hold employers accountable who retaliate against workers by threatening to expose their immigration status. We joined a multi-state coalition opposing the NLRB's proposed change to the Joint Employer Standard, which governs the status and liability of an employer that shares control over the terms and conditions of workers' employment with another employer. We joined with individuals standing up for the rights of the LGBT community. We joined a multi-state coalition challenging the expansion of the circumstances in which authorities consider the use of public benefits in determining eligibility for citizenship. We joined we are leading the charge against this diversion of funds to build a wall of funds that should go towards law enforcement here in the state of New York. We have done a number of, we have reclaimed significant amounts of monies against individuals who engaged in Medicaid fraud. We filed the most extensive lawsuit against pharmaceuticals and manufacturers and a family enterprise that was involved in this opioid crisis that we are experiencing here in the state of New York.
Let me just ask you for a second before. Yeah. That's an incredible list. And
And I'm not finished yet, but go ahead.
the first three quarters of that list, yeah. My response was, it's amazing to me that the president of the United States comes from our very cosmopolitan, progressive city, and that the programs that you are talking about trying to protect, even on something as simple as the census, strikes me as incredibly anti-international, anti-cosmopolitan.
I mean, even for homeowners, when he limited the deduction from your taxes for state and local taxes, when he limited that deduction to $10,000, that had an immediate impact on New Yorkers who own homes in a area where right now the values of our homes unfortunately have increased, and so that $10,000 cap significantly impacted homeowners here in the state of New York. And so basically what he's doing is transferring wealth from cosmopolitan cities and urban cities and transferring it to those jurisdictions that are part of his base. And it's important that individuals understand that. But it's important that individuals understand not only are we just focusing on the federal government, we're focusing on everyday problems. We have resolved a number of cases involving bad actors who were engaged in consumer fraud, who engaged in deceptive business actions against consumers on a daily basis, Medicaid fraud. We also arrested individuals who were part of Medicaid mills and who were dispensing illegal drugs. And who were putting opioids on our streets, destroying lives, destroying families. You know, in New York State, every day 9 people die from this opioid epidemic. And so it's important that everyone understand that the Office of Attorney General, not only are we focusing on Washington, but we also are focusing on the lives of everyday New Yorkers, including but not limited to housing. We launched a lawsuit against a realty company in Queens that was repeatedly violating rent stabilization laws and harassing tenants at their Queens buildings. And the defendants Zara Realty Holding, they've long taken advantage of their tenants.
Well, we're talking
low-income individuals.
We're talking with Attorney General Letitia James. How has this, since the election, how has your life changed?
My life has changed because it's being consumed by the law, and I'm not complaining. I wake up every day with this fire in my belly. I walk into the office of the Attorney General, joined by thousands of wonderful attorneys. We sue somebody or we sue a number of entities, and then we all go home and have a good night's sleep, and then we wake up the next day and we do it all over again.
And this, again, in terms of the scope of the work that you're doing, both in terms of dealing with a very hostile federal government and to try to correct some of the issues that some of the problems that are, you know, plaguing the state and the country on this issue of opioid abuse. This is something that has been out there for a long time. It's going to be very hard to get a hold of it. But we've got to get these folks who have abused the system, correct?
Correct. The lawsuit alleges that through years of false and deceptive marketing and business practices, these individuals, these manufacturers and these distributors basically ignored their duties to prevent the unlawful diversion of opioids into the marketplace. And so we are filing a lawsuit against six national prescription opioid manufacturers and a number of distributors, as well as the Sackler family, who are basically responsible, we allege, for creating the opioid epidemic that has ravaged New York, causing widespread addiction, death, and suffering all over the state of New York, from Buffalo all the way to Long Island.
We're talking with Attorney General, New York State Attorney General Letitia James, a good friend of the union and a good friend of working men and women throughout the city. We just have about a minute and a half left. I knew this would go by very quickly. You have been very busy. How do you feel in the current environment that we're in about the future of New York State?
I feel really good because I recognize that there's three levels of government. And we all have checks and balances, and we're co-equal. And I would say that the judiciary has been one of the firmest pillars of our democracy. And we all must understand what's at stake. It's our basic freedoms and our liberty. And so it's really critically important that everyone understand what's at stake right now, because we are in the midst of a constitutional crisis. And it's really critically important what's at risk. And so everyone must recognize the powers that they have in their hand, and they must be engaged civically, and they must be registered to vote.
Letitia James, New York State Attorney General, I appreciate very much your coming on the show. You always have a microphone here, and thank you for the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Chris, and again, I love DC 37.
And
thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. I'm Chris Policano. This is the city budget season, that time of the year when the mayor and the city council negotiate the city's priorities. We at DC 37 are standing up for renewable energy, parks, education, libraries, the public health care system, and public safety. There's also millions of dollars in revenue the city fails to collect by not making cost-effective investments in the public workforce. Joining us now to talk about this is Local 1757 President Maria Policarpo. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing? Thank you for having me.
No, this is an important issue where we talk about what the city can afford and what money there is that the city collects. And you represent the tax assessors. And
correct.
And again, as I just said, we believe that there is millions of dollars the city is not collecting. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Absolutely. We basically represent the city assessors, and I'm also a city assessor myself. We are in three different agencies, the Department of Finance, we are in the Tax Commission, and over at Corporation Council. So basically, over at Department of Finance, the assessors are responsible for valuing the properties. Now, we have currently 40% less assessors in 2018 than we did in 2001. And just for a little bit of a comparison for you, in 2001, the assessed value for New York City was about $151 billion. And now, in 2018, it was $382 billion.
Wow.
So more than doubled. It's about 2.5 times more. And with 40% less assessors out there.
And how does that affect both the work of the assessors have to do, and also how does that affect the bottom line for the city?
Well, basically, it is affecting in many ways because the assessor is overwhelmed with work. They're overworked, and they simply don't have time to see everything that they need to see in order to get the valuations correct. And they're depending more and more on a flawed modeling system. There's complaints from taxpayers on a regular basis because the values are incorrect. The quality of the tax poor is of the tax roll is very poor. There's 56,000 plus property tax appeals filed yearly with the New York City Tax Commission.
Wow.
I mean, just for argument's sake, let's just put some numbers out there. There are 87 districts, and 23 of them are vacant. Queens, I mean, how do you work like that? How are you supposed to work with that type of understaffing? And Queens itself is half staffed. They have only 10 assessors to value the entire borough.
And this reduction you're saying has taken place over a period of more than 15 years, if I heard your numbers correctly before, in terms of the staff reductions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just getting worse and worse, and we have a lot of people ready to retire. Majority of the staff is eligible for retirement very shortly, and you know the staffing they're just simply cannot. And there's also a recruitment and retention problem because of the salaries are not comparable to what's out there, and it's a very difficult job to recruit for and then to retain them because of the low salary.
And
so we're definitely having a big problem, and without the money being collected. You know, there's physical alterations out there that are being missed all the time because there simply isn't enough staff to handle the workload.
And as you say, and when we are not effectively assessing values and what revenue should be coming to the city is losing, right?
Absolutely. They're losing because, don't forget, the city's budget, the city's revenue, New York City revenue comes mainly from property taxes, and if you're not collecting the correct amount of property taxes, then everything suffers. Every agency under suffers with budget cuts because if you're not collecting money, you have no money to put in the budget for them.
And if the staff is overworked to the degree that you just described, that
absolutely.
Does.
I know myself. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know myself. I'm an associate here at the Tax Commission, and I will review this season about 2,000 parcels. And I have to sit down, I have to hear them and determine about 2,000 parcels. And we are mandated to 12 weeks of overtime because there is not enough people to do all the valuations. And you can't function at that kind of a level. It's the hiring needs to happen so that, and if the cases aren't settled here at the tax commission, then it just creates more of a liability to the city. If, you know, things are going to go, there's going to be more Article 78 proceedings and they're going to be heard at the law department. It's a problem.
So, and now we have made our case to the city council. I believe you testified recently, isn't that correct?
Yes, I did. I testified at the last hearing, and I will be testifying again next week. And hopefully we're heard, because there's money out there that's not being collected, and the tax rates then go up for various there has to be a certain amount of revenue collected, and then the tax rates go up, and homeowners are affected here, where their tax rates are going up because not enough money is being collected from those who warrant it.
It seems like such a common sense. This seems like a common sense issue. It's like, this isn't rocket science, folks.
No, it's not. I mean, just think of it. 10 assessors to value the entire borough of Queens.
That's a big borough. That's a big
it
place.
It certainly is.
Maria Policarpo is the president of Local 1757. This issue we will be following, obviously, in the weeks ahead as we resolve the city council budget. We're out there fighting every day. I know Executive Director Henry Garrido has been working with you.
And, yes, he has. He's been great.
And I just want to, we want to give you the opportunity to make the case and to let our listeners know what is going on. And it just, as I say, it sounds like such a common sense approach to how we should be managing the city.
It is. It really is. And, they're focusing a lot on technology, all these different technology, and they're hiring more managers and creating more units for these technologies. But at the end of the day, the only person that can change the descriptive data of a building or value a building is an assessor. And all of this technology, there's so much money being spent out there when really all they need is to hire more assessors.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Switching gears to education, DC 37 is always leading the way in terms of providing education classes for the 125,000 men and women out there who may need certification and may need to just advance their careers via education. Joining us now by phone is Diallo Shabazz, the administrator of the DC 37 Education Fund. Welcome back, sir.
Chris, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
I always want to give you an opportunity to tell us what's going on with the Education Fund and with classes for the members and what's available. So why don't I just let you take it away.
Absolutely. We are excited to be recruiting for some of our fall classes already. DC 37 Education Fund offers classes typically 4 terms throughout the year, in the spring, summer, winter, and fall. This year we're skipping the summer term because we're moving for the first time in about 47 years.
That's right.
But we'll be offering classes again this fall. One of the things that we're most excited about is our commitment to expanding opportunities for our members to go back to college or enroll in college, take college courses.
And we just recently had a college fair, did we not?
We did. It's the first time we've done one in a long time. But a lot of our members have been reaching out to us saying that they want to go back to college. They want to take some courses towards their associate's or bachelor's or master's degree. We invited every CUNY school in the city. There are about 24 CUNY colleges, 23 of them showed up. We had hundreds of DC 37 members who showed up, not only to get information about college for themselves, some of them brought their children. And so the Education Fund is committed to making sure that we put these opportunities in front of our members. Now, when we often talk about college, one of the first things people think about is that college costs too much. They can't afford it. What we've done is try to make sure that we have as much information about scholarships and grants and financial aid available as possible. DC 37 even has its own scholarship available that members can apply for. The information is on our website, dc37.net, and we still have another 2 months to go for the deadline, which is in July. So people should reach out and make sure that they apply for the scholarship.
I also see that the Ed Fund is accepting applications for a workshop on interview techniques on Thursday, June 6th and 13th at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. So I'm bringing this up now just to to make sure that listeners understand that we do very, there are some, in addition to the general college courses, there are some very specific things that can help them in their workplace.
Absolutely. So a lot of members ask for resources in terms of improving the likelihood that they can, that they'll be able to get promoted. And so sometimes that includes getting additional skills and certifications that will qualify them for a promotion. Sometimes it's about preparing them for the process. And so in June, we're still offering interview techniques, which is a workshop, a one-day workshop where members are able to come in after hours and get some tips and strategies from an expert that we have here on staff. Sometimes members need help updating their resume. So there are a few workshops to help members do that as well. We often have members also reach out to us and say, you know, I really want to improve my public speaking skills, you know, or I really want to help run meetings either in my office or in the union, the local that I'm a part of. And so we have public speaking classes that are available. We have parliamentary procedure workshops that are available. We really try to make sure that we have a whole cadre of workshops and courses available to help educate and train our members.
And for the interview techniques workshop, again, that's Thursday, June 6th and 13th at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. For more details, you can call 212-815-1700. What else is going on?
Oh, we're staying busy. Many of our members have asked for assistance with counseling. You know, so when it comes to going back to school, people say, you know, where should I start? You know, should I just enroll in a class? Should I read through the course catalog that we have online that lays out all of our courses? One of the first things they should do is reach out to the Education Fund and schedule an appointment with one of our career counselors. We have a number of career counselors and college counselors here to talk members through the process of what they should take, enroll in, and how they really kind of like plan this and schedule it in their lives. Our new partnership, our expanded partnership with CUNY, has allowed them to send over a number of college counselors that are here every Thursday, specifically to talk to members about what it would take to enroll into a CUNY school, what programs and courses they have available, what financial aid and scholarships they have available. So facilitating that conversation is an important part of getting engaged in education. And so we've been expanding our counseling services to make sure that we can meet members wherever they are. Down here at the Union, we also have counselors that are going out to some of our sites around the city at different CUNY colleges. The counseling information is available online as well. So you can schedule an appointment to meet with one of our counselors online.
We've got just a few seconds left, actually, about 45 seconds left. The scholarship deadline is July 12th. What is that scholarship for?
There are actually about five or six different scholarships that are available. Some of them are for members for leadership. Some of them are for members' children or grandchildren who are starting college. It'll be their freshman year or who are continuing in college. So the DC 37 has an education committee that raises money to help our members and their children and grandchildren pay for college. It's one of the services that we provide to the members of the union.
Diallo Shabazz is the administrator of the DC 37 Education Fund. It is always a privilege and a pleasure to have you here, sir. And we're going to have you back again. That's just about all the time we have for this evening. I want to thank our guest, New York State Attorney General Letitia James, and 1757 President Maria Policarpo, and the aforementioned Mr. Shabazz. Our producer is Rudy Orozco. The sound engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I am Chris Policano. Until next time, ciao.